Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hello.
Brian Brushwood.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Super producer extraordinaire Bryce Castillo.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for the intro, Andrew.
My pleasure. So there was an article I've been sitting on this. Haven't had a chance to talk it over with you guys. It's kind of cool. Marketplace.org has an article on, they call it, like, the headline is FOMO in China is a $7 billion industry, which, you know, I take it to mean it's like fear of missing out, but I guess it loosely referenced this. But what this is about is in China, according to some studies, there is an industry for like educational podcasting, paid podcasting is way more massive than here. Now, they mention Patreon and all that there, but they're saying that in China, the market for buying podcasts, like audio episodes and stuff to teach you stuff, is huge. Not counting, these aren't like advertised ones, but people paying ones for like how to invest in Bitcoin, how to make yourself more attractive to employers and stuff like this. So it's a very interesting article that goes into just, you know.
Forgive me. What I've heard so far indicates that China, in general, is more willing to pay for upgrades of knowledge in podcast or video form, which is a fairly remarkable thing given China's, we could say either deserved or undeserved reputation as, you know, shrugging when it comes to knocking off intellectual properties of other two out of the three of us here on this panel have had products of ours, intellectual property products, show up without our permission from Chinese markets. So that strikes me, especially in a medium like of digital distribution, as fairly extraordinary that there's a robust market for people wanting to pay for that kind of informational tutorials.
Well, I mean, who knows what how much of it is stolen, but part of what helps is the pricing. It goes through the phones, the phone-based systems, things like this. You know, like we saw this, remember years ago when ringtones are the biggest market there is? You know, ringtones were huge, and then that sort of just died. But it certainly means that there is a demand in, you know, China for content, particularly a lot of it relates to like employment and opportunities, a lot of it's self-help stuff. And there are parallels here, but it is interesting to see that they're saying primarily audio. And because I noticed they said this pay for knowledge economy, and it's not like here in the United States. I'm like, well, Udemy, Lynda.com, and other ones, they cover that, but it's video. And so I don't know if we're carving that out specifically, but I thought about this, said, well, there's here, what's similar here? And then using the Justin adage, but what's different? And I think the scope and size of it, and I think the fact that so much is audio-based, and I'm going to throw this out here, like, there are times when I like to do video courses, but there are other times when there are things I like to learn by audio. I don't think everything needs to be an audiobook. I don't think everything has to be a 7-hour audiobook, and I don't think Audible, that model really works for that. I would love to pay $2 or $3 for, you know, the Justin Robert Young audio on what he learned on Kickstarter, you know, Brian on how I made the jump to become a performer or this. I think there's a niche there for creating more specialized how-to audio content. It's not a podcast in the form of.
I agree. I think that there is certainly a, we have fully embraced the idea that a visual-less upgrade to our knowledge is something that we are fascinated by. So much so that even the most popular podcasts are in some way a like either take something away from it or learn something or hear a new experience. There is an undercurrent of kind of educational content. But I think that Andrew's right that you can focus that a lot more, and specifically in a world where we already have you know, the top shows are all about either a true story, so they're basically like a history with some gloss and sheen to it, or something more focused. Like, you can say, like, all right, no, would you like to learn how this kind of stuff works? Would you like to be better at researching yourself? Would you like to understand, you know, something more hands-on and utilitarian? $2. Listen to it right now.
This is remarkable because all of a sudden I'm thinking, and you were there for part of it this weekend. We just went to Scoop Fest and
Brian, I was in LA.
I some of you were there this weekend when we went to Scoop Fest, and I found myself very excitedly. You know, people had very specific questions about, like, how do you navigate blank, right? And I found myself slipping into, let's say, you could phrase it as, you know, rehearsed chit-chat, right? You know, you find yourself telling the same stories over and over and over again. And I ended up spending 30 minutes with this person saying, okay, well, your fundamentals are blank, blank, and blank. It sounds like what you're trying to do is blank. Watch for these pitfalls. Watch me for the changes and try to keep up. I perceive that as not having any value because I'm just running my mouth off. And yet this person was like, you have, and as I was talking, I remember Matt Donnelly walking by, hearing a snippet of it, and having heard Brian do this routine of before, just basically tapped the dude on the shoulder, got eye contact, and pointed at me as if to say, listen to everything he's saying and do it. There's value here.
And then made the puppet mouth with his hand going, blah, 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 blah.
but like, this is amazing to me because it makes me wonder if there's not a place for just a question and a 30-minute answer, authentic. And you might not think of that as material that you wrote, produced, and rehearsed to a point where it's got a polish. But that sort of dinner party chatter has real value to somebody looking to unlock certain things. And now all of a sudden, like when I think in terms of 30-minute content modules, I could probably come up with 20 or 30 questions that I could sit and directly answer based entirely out of answers I've given a million times before. And I had never even thought about doing a series of those as real quick, like, hey, man, give me $2. I'll give you 30 minutes of my full attention and tell you the truth as I've experienced it. That's crazy.
It's funny because I know, having watched Andrew do his periscopes and having had great long conversations about story and writing and the process to which our friend Cargill has really carved out a great niche on Twitter lately about just like pointing out little tidbits on writing every day or how to focus your story, and he's had great stuff this month about horror. All of his tweets have been all of his writing tweets have been about horror and trying to define, on the broad level, like, how do you create a horrible villain? Like, or how do you create an awful like thing? Like, all right, well, think about something in your life that you are creeped out by and then extrapolated. Or the micro, if you're writing a horror script, then once every 5 pages, there has to be something where it, even if it's a jump scare, it has to be something that continues to keep that tension. That I would love to just, like, I would pay $2 to download, Andrew tell me about things that he's already, I get it for free because I get it right from the cow. But I think you all would also enjoy Andrew talking for 2 hours about tension and suspense and characters and when there is something that, how do you build a mystery? How do you write every day? How do you keep a focus and everything? I think that there's a tremendous amount of worth. And Brian, I've heard we joked about the fact that we really should have had some sort of Patreon offer code, because if we were to get a fraction of the Patreons that have all been created because we gave the please, have you heard the good news? Right. Livable income has risen and could be yours. We would have a lot more money. It's I'll tell you what, I'm into it. Are we doing it? Are we starting this? We starting this company?
I gotta tell you, I sort of feel like, and I don't know if it's $2 a nugget or a dollar just seems so disposable. A dollar for 30 minutes to answer one question. I feel like if you had qualified people. Let's say, just speaking off the top of our head, imagine if Rahm Emanuel, gave direct answers about what people do and don't understand about the way Hollywood works. Greg Grunberg talks about what it means, you know, why take the smaller roles and what power are in that. Brian talks about quitting his day job. Justin talks about striking out as an independent creator. Andrew answers a 30-minute question or a single question for 30 minutes about, okay, you hear this about writing, but this is what nobody believes. Like, that just seems like a wonderful candy store that I personally would go nuts on, and you eliminate all of the BS. None of the welcome to the so-and-so thing. I have to come up with another thing this week. But instead, everything is just meat. I gotta feel like there's a real marketplace there.
Yeah, and I think there's some things like pricing, things like, because like, and I thought a lot about like, what the problem, like, you kind of got to let the market figure out what that is, and like creators sort of decide what they want to do with it. But I have a lot of free time. I know how to code.
No, I'm 100% in. I think anywhere between a half hour to an hour, on specific questions, because this is what I would love.
I think we leave it more open. I think that you kind of. I think this, if somebody says, like, if I wanted to do a 5-hour writing course, you know, or something.
Sure. No. Yeah, if you want to build a larger thing, then sure. But I would say, like, if I'm just going on all the stuff that Brian, I know Brian just has the well-worn file that he accesses to play the MP3 of these stories. Like, why Brian quit his job is something that I know you have told a million times and contains very specific good advice about feelings that people have at day jobs, feelings that people have about becoming an independent creator, and when the time to jump is, not only emotionally, but also financially, right? And understanding like what goes into it. That to me is something that, like, yes, you've said it probably many dozen times on the internet, but guess what? Now in a world, what we used to know before was that, great, everything on the internet is recorded. We'll be able to find it. Now, since everything's been recorded, we're like, this is all effectively useless. Like, we are like sure, I'm going to go find one molecule in the ocean because I really want to remember that molecule. No, re-record it. Make it easy. Make it a dollar for when to quit your job.
Well, and it's as though it's evocative of that image when Neo starts getting his upgrades, and they take a cartridge, they pick up a cartridge, and he says jiu-jitsu, I'm going to learn jiu-jitsu, plug it in, and 30 minutes later he knows jiu-jitsu, right? It's the same thing, like a self-employed authoring, I'm going to learn self-employed authoring, and then, and it's like, well, shit, yeah, I got it.
Well, Brian, that brings me, there's some other stuff I've been working on as far as looking into using machine learning to create summarizations, how to ramp up the speeds of this. And also something that it's one of the problems in some audiobooks and some stuff is you have people who have content, but they don't have, let's say, audiobook narrator voice. And Amazon Polly has become really, really, really good. And one of the things I was thinking about is the option. It's like, hey, let me listen to this in this other voice at 1.5x speed, you know. Because some of these things, one of the things too, it's like,
this is auto conversion of printed media and robot vocalized.
So, but what I could do is you could take somebody's voice, translate it into text, check the transcript, have them check the transcript, then convert it back into a computer voice.
I think there's something there. I guess right now I don't hold computer voices in high enough esteem for me to feel like that's how I would want to.
Oh yeah, let me throw it out there. I'm not talking about replacing Brian Brushwood's voice, but let's say you are a community college, economics professor, who maybe doesn't have the strongest.
You're focused on what is something that scales. Like we all have material, and this is a way to take that material and translate it into upgrade modules that people could pay, take advantage of what is already happening organically in China.
Make it anybody easy for anybody who's maybe not a pro podcaster to create quality. Somebody who has quality things to say, but if you're not, you know, if the microphone in front of your face is the one built into your laptop.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, this is, I think we've talked about Polly before, but this is one of the Polly voices. This is the English female voice, Joanna.
Hello. Do you speak a foreign language? One language is never enough.
Here's the male voice.
Hello. Do you speak a foreign language? One language is never enough.
I'll tell you what, though. You speed that up. And the difference between that and a real human or even a pro audiobook reader gets a little bit narrower. Because like as I continue to listen to all my audio at a sped up rate, I could see. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite things was they were listed as audiobooks. This is back when I used to pirate stuff. But somebody had basically taken just all of the written speeches of Michael Crichton and just done like a Stephen Hawking style, very rudimentary robot voice to it, and then sped it up. And I must have re-listened to all of those speeches like 7 times. It's astonishing when you're focused on the thoughts behind them, how little you really care about the module, the audio module that is bringing them to you.
When Hawking would go to like Caltech, people would be laying out around the quad on the grass and blankets, listening to speakers playing the computer voice.
Wow.
You know, you just think about that, you know. And the funny part is like, it was like pre-recorded, you know. It was like, you know, Hawkins has sort of pressed play on the speech. I don't want to be.
Hey, look, man, him and EDM DJs.
I know. It's sort of like, all right. I'm thinking he's just sitting there, like he's playing like Galaga, you know.
I really think there's something here, and I can't think of anybody. Okay, I could definitely imagine. There's a tier of self-help professionals who could do a bunch of 30-minute chunks and sell them for 2 minutes a pop. I don't know that there are a lot of people winning at whatever artistic game they're playing, that are like, hey, guess what you're buying? The truth without a sponsor right now. And I'm just going to answer this question as if the two of us are alone in this room. This really could be a wonderful emerging market. I guess the closest I could think of to that is at the very, very high end. We see it with the master classes, and I forget the competitor to master classes. But you see people who really are at the top of their game, and they've got nothing to lose. Enough money.
The Sorcerer Supreme classes.
I think it's actually the doctor classes.
But they've got nothing to lose because they're well established in their art, and the price is high enough that they're not going to ruin the market by giving up their best tricks or whatever. But you know, you're watching Ron Howard just flat out tell you exactly why and how, and same with R.L. Stine and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think there is a middle class opportunity. Like I perceive the three of us as kind of middle class stars in that space, and no, we can't do it for $200 an episode, but I think we could do them for 30-minute nuggets for $1 to $3.
I mean, there is a portion of, you know, of Andrew's early career that was built on you know, me reading the audiobook. So I mean, like if we were just to say that we already have an audience that says, hey, cool, if you guys do something and it's at a reasonable price, we'll just get it because we like it.
So as far as what's in the landscape now, somebody mentioned, what about, does Audible have a self-publishing division? They do. ACX, and ACX is wonderful. ACX allows you to prepare your content, put it there, and then you can actually find somebody to narrate it for you, whatever, and split it. The problem with ACX, I think ACX is great for audiobooks and things like this, but ACX, you're getting, like, if you do the whole thing, produce the whole thing, one, there's a lot of hoops you've got to go through to deliver Audible content, you know, as far as the preparation and stuff like that. And that's a holdout for the good and the bad. The good is it presents a lot of crap content from getting on there. The bad part is that it's like, if you want to do, there's not a lot of 1 hour, half hour sort of content on there, because Audible's primary model is people just say, I'm going to use a credit, but people don't want to use a credit for a 1 hour or 2 hour content. Yeah. And that's the niche that's sort of the thing, the trap that it sort of falls into. It's like, you sort of lose out on, you know, there's stuff I go at Audible, I'm like, I want this, but it's only 2 hours. I don't want to waste a $15 credit on something I think is worth $3.
Right.
And also Audible pays you 40%. So, and I think that I think you could flip this to more like ebook pricing, you know, where you could give the creator 70%. I think there's a way to do more in line with that pricing. So, you know, pay people, you know, 2.5% what they would make elsewhere. So
I'm all for this. Like, I'm in.
Basically, everything, like, it's almost as AMA as downloadable audio chunks, where, like, mm-hmm. that is a, if you've made it in whatever niche you have made it in, then there's somebody who wants your secret sauce and would deeply love to meet you at a party and get this 30-minute face-to-face version, but I'm gonna guess for $2 would settle for the virtually face-to-face, you looking at a camera version of it as well. I think this is really remarkable.
So part of the advantage of it too is that I like the idea as a platform, is because if this thing existed right now, is that Brian doesn't need 1,000 other people to be on it to make it worthwhile. Brian has an email list, and Brian can say, hey, here's a link, go here if you want to get this. And the platform handles the delivery and payments and all that sort of stuff. And that's sort of kind of the neat thing about it. It's not like a platform. Once you have the people know, oh, there's a platform, go there and they'll find other stuff by there. It increases, but its minimum utility comes into play. Because I thought about this, like, I'm like, man, I would love to do this. Like, if I wanted, I thought I'd like to sell this content. I don't want to do video. I'd like to do audio. But I'm like, where's my platform to kind of really move this if it's not, you know, something I want to put on Audible, you know? So.
The other thing that the very idea of this does is makes me think back, like, we did the Wizard Academy class on how to build a tribe through online video. And, you know, if you're going to spend 2 days talking about a thing, you're going to divide it into a bunch of, we'll say, 2 hour hunks, right? And then each of those hunks is semi-divided into, you know, sort of an A, B, and C chunk on there. And all of a sudden, now you're looking at 30-minute discrete bits of business that you have to say. And if you just carve that out and write them on a piece of paper, like, what's everything we said over this 2-day class that people spent thousands of dollars to come and listen to us say? Now all of a sudden you just say it again, because again, it's the same thing that you say at a cocktail party. It's the same thing you say to another creator who walks up and asks one of the 7 questions every other independent content creator asks you. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, let me just record it, and this could be the version of Note, and put it behind a ridiculously small paywall of $2, where it's easier to buy it than to try to pirate it.
Yeah. So
anyway, right. Thank you for the business. I've got some recordings to go do. Bye.
Listen, man. It's one of the things too. It's like a you don't need to be the first. You just need to figure out how to make it work. You know, you need to figure out how to make the thing work. And, you know, we've seen people go in there and go like, I'm doing this thing. And then there's room for disruption. And now that there's so many people consuming podcasts and audiobooks, you know, it's like, I think there's space for this. So
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I mean, not to mention, it's literally the best thing that you could advertise on a podcast. And we already do a lot of podcasts.
Oh, my gosh. Right. All of a sudden where it's like let's say in an After Things thing, a question veers into, instead, like, oftentimes we find ourselves saying like, oh, and this is covered in this book that the three of us have read called so-and-so or whatever. But then all of a sudden that switches to, oh, we actually do a 30-minute treatise on this in this other thing.
Oh, no, that's just the natural way that we mention this. Like, I'm saying that, like, even we have a bunch of podcasts currently that don't usually have ads on it. If the ad was just, hey, the three of us contribute content to this great marketplace, like, have you ever wanted to know when to quit your job, have you ever wanted to know how to become a published writer within 30 days, have you ever wanted to know how to make an action movie for $99. Have you ever wanted to know, you know, how to create, you know, a Patreon, how to start a Kickstarter without losing your money?
Have you ever wanted, like, and also like experiential weird things? Like, I could imagine somebody who is freaking out because they're about to get booked onto some kind of talk show or whatever, and now all of a sudden there's a $2 30-minute module by Brian Brushwood that says what to expect when you go on a TV talk show, and then explaining, like, look, they're going to do this. Let them do this. They're going to expect you to be impressed with that. Don't be impressed with that. They're going to push for you to say this. If they do, I say no, but if they push for it, then make sure you're prepared with blank, blank, and blank. And then that is the anatomy of a successful appearance on a talk show 30 minutes.
Yeah. How to get on TV.
Yeah. How to even get on. Yeah.
How to get on TV. Boom. Like, I mean, to me, it's like, geez, I'll tell you what, now it totally makes you look at, like, all those questions that you get constantly via email, poorly spelled. It's like, now they're all like, okay, well, I don't want to type this out for the millionth time, so either I'm going to, like, go to a doc and copy-paste because I do want to respect that you reached out, but now you can also be like, hey, also, you know, five-word answer this. Longer answer if I talked about it in this thing, if you care.
Here's
enough.
30 minutes on it if that's really what you're into. Man, that's brilliant.
There we go.
Hey, I've got to go pick up my kid from the bus. So let me jump in on picks real quick.
Brian's pick, children. Have them.
Yeah, have them. They're great. My pick was how much fun Mario Party is when you have friends. I've got kids.
Rub it in, Brian. Rub it in.
I've got kids, and so, you know, whenever we play a game, you know, you're being dad. But when you are with a bunch of peers and it's this wonderful nonsense engine, and it allows everybody to, you know, talk smack to each other. It was just a blast. What little of it we got to play while we were out in Vegas, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we played the new Super Mario Party with Mikey and his friend and Justin.
With two Switches.
We did on two, but I actually found out you can do four controllers on one Switch, I believe.
Oh, right
We just didn't have it set up right.
Okay.
But you can also do two, you can do teams, and you can do two. So if you're portable, not everyone's crouched over the same small screen. It's pretty cool with the local multiplayer stuff.
Yeah.
I had a blast. Mario Party is never not a good time.
All right, peace out, gentlemen. I love you.
Okay,
peace.
Justin, do you have a pick?
Oh boy. Aside from, I mean, really, all that's been on my mind lately has been Scoop Fest. So I encourage everybody to go check out Ice Cream Social, the podcast. They are. Not only do a really fun show, but they are great guys, and they put on a hell of an event this weekend in Las Vegas. I would encourage you actually to go ahead and check out some of the. This is more of the maker side. Go check out their Twitch channel, twitch.tv/HeyScoops.
Hmm.
They just did, or the venue that they're at is called Show Creators. But they had one of the most ingenious and great looking setups that I've ever seen. It was all run off of iPads and iPhones that were either drilled into the wall or on great little handheld stabilizers. But the product that they put out was, and listen, it required somebody in a booth switching and everything. But there are times, and hopefully I'll keep talking to the point where they cut around a little bit. But between these are the two hard cams.
There were three. There were two iPads up there. There was a gentleman on a actual camcorder. But then there was one or two guys at various times of the night with the iPhones on gimbals kind of moving around.
But it looked... just fantastic in terms of like cutting out to the audience and getting their reactions. Like it was live cut, just like a comedy special, which was really, really impressive considering how small of a footprint their gear was.
Oh yeah.
Cause the image looked great. It was streaming fantastic. So yeah, big shout out to Show Creators. Very impressed with them.
yeah, they made it so I pretty much had to do nothing this weekend. We brought a bunch of gear to do kind of a 2 or 3 camera setup, and you know, they had it on lock better than we would have done. So like, super shout out to Jacob and everyone at Studio Creators Space.
Show Creators Studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you have a big Andrew? I don't know that I have one for After Things.
You know, my pick is I'm going to be a broken record, and just because like every time I'm insistent on it, somebody else may discover it and go, "Oh, cool, this is great." Between lynda.com, which is free with many library cards, that's lynda.com, and Udemy, and there's Udacity. If you're a little depressed, or you're feeling like your life's a little bit empty, or you're like, you know, Bilbo, like, you know, only so little butter spread across such large toast, whatever. If you're feeling like, man, I want a little something, go there, pick something you're curious in, just step up your skills a bit. Like, there's so much out there. And, you know, my brain is just like fried from like, oh my God, there's this. Like, I've been overdoing it, like on the stuff that, you know, the course is up, but it's my thing now. I don't like watch TV. I don't play games. I sit in there with a course on coding or something like this and go learn stuff. And, you know, I just middle of working on something else, which I'll share with you guys at some other point, where it's like, oh, okay, I got to build this. Well, I'll use Swift for the iPhone part of it. I'll use Rails for this part. I'll use JavaScript for that. And then on the back end, I'll go ahead and I'll do Python. I'm not an expert in any one of these things. But yeah, because of these courses, I'm like, I know how to start and how to find answers to stuff. And, you know, to think if I told myself like a couple years ago, like, yeah, in the middle of you having this wonderful success with books and writing, you're going to go dive into this and you'll be able to do this, you know, a week from now, anybody has an interest in coding or anything, a week from now, you could be way more proficient than you ever thought you could be in things like Photoshop and other stuff. So lynda.com, like I said, free with many library cards. Udemy, you know, they have, you know, Udacity is kind of like a little more serious sort of level kind of people putting in there, but Udemy's got a lot of great courses and stuff. A 50-hour iPhone development course for $12.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, it's knowledge is cheap. Knowledge is really, really, really cheap right now. Plus people mentioned, I don't know it, but I'm sure it's great too.
On Udemy, because Udemy is more of a marketplace sort of thing, do you end up going with the same creators, or do you just kind of do it based on topic? And what do you think, like, do you have a good hit rate on like feeling like you got a good experience out of those lessons that you paid for?
I would say some of them have been wonderful that I've gone all the way through and I thought they're great. Some of them, you know, you want to go check the reviews and see how recent they are and how often the courses are updated. I've had some frustrating experiences where I think that like this, they're just telling you how to copy paste code, which I don't like. And I've had some courses I took that I did not like that other people really liked. And I think that I don't know if they got the same out of it, because I'm like, wow, this person spent 5 hours to teach us how to handle this unique situation that we're never going to handle. And now I'm bored, you know, so it can be all over the place. But when I want to learn something, I take multiple courses, you know, I just try to learn it from multiple instructors.
Cool.
There you go. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
It's been After.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.